Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea or a bunch of humble ideas into a pitch for an awesome movie or TV show. My name is Freddie Wong, American.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one podcaster to say his name in his podcast, we the people are Will Campos, in order to form a more perfect story break.
Hi, my name is Matt Arnold, sometimes director and writer, always a dad, and always, and just recently, a constitutional scholar. So I'm your expert witness today, and I will make sure that everything is up to snuff.
All right, so we made a joke last episode about this, but that joke has now become a reality, a truth, if you will.
A lot of people out there misinterpreting the Constitution, Freddie, and we're here to set them all straight with 10, count them 10, instructional films about the glorious Bible of America, the Constitution of the United States, a prima strategy guide to democracy.
This is very much inspired by Krzysztof Kieslowski's The Decalogue.
Inspired? This is an official sequel. People have been begging for a sequel to The Decalogue. And Kieslowski was like, fuck you guys. And, you know, people rioted against him. People, you know, really the fan base.
One of the most incredible film projects, like, in the history of cinema. Highly recommended. Criterion has
The second best.
The second best after this sequel comes out. Film fan. I'm a huge fan of it. Matt, I know, is a huge fan.
It's an all-timer, one of the greatest works of art ever. I think, wasn't it, you know, who's the guy that did The Shining? Who's that guy? Stanley Kubrick? Yeah, that guy.
Stanley Tucci, I believe is
Stanley
his name.
Stanley Tucci. I think Stanley Kubrick said it's like the only masterpiece made in the 20th century. So, like, it's got some credits.
That's such a fucking Kubrick thing to say. Blow it out is. Your ass. Really give is. Me a break.
It's really good, though, actually.
I'm really good, and this is the only good one. Fuck you. What up, Chode?
Regardless, that was about the 10 commandments, 10 one-hour made-for-TV films about the Ten Commandments. We will do the same, but for the 10 Bill of Rights.
Guys, it's a 10-episode Quibi series about the Constitution. The medium of our time.
Yep.
Freddie has seen the Decalogue and knows nothing about the Bill of Rights. And
How dare you?
I haven't seen the Decalogue, but I know everything about the Bill of Rights.
And I know everything about both those things. Now, Freddie took, like, law classes about at least the first
my favorite so. Class I've ever taken, and people who will go to my high school literally talk about this class. There was a First Amendment class that they did. I think about it almost every day. It's one of the best classes I've ever taken in my entire life. I have a deep love for the First Amendment, but there's 10 of them, baby. You know what? Less jib jabbing. Let's get onto it. Yeah. 10 films.
Now, okay. First question.
Yes.
Are we going to do these in order? Because speaking frankly, the best amendments are first.
No.
Do we want to go up from 10 and go down to 1? Or do we want to start with like 1, 2? Is like once I've seen the Freedom of Speech movie and the Right to Bear Arms movie, I don't know if like how hard I'm waiting for like the amendment movie.
Kieslowski didn't bow out.
That's true.
You know, the stuff's good. Like, you know, Thou Shalt Not Kill and stuff is pretty early. And then you get into like, thy shall not covet thy neighbor's goods. It's like, okay. Here's the thing. Just, we don't want to talk about the Decalogue too much, but what I like about the Decalogue is he takes some zags that you wouldn't expect. Like,
yeah, true.
Thou shalt not steal. Like, you're like, okay, I get it. It's going to be like about like a thief in,
right?
Like, you know, a rundown area. No, it's like about voyeurism. It's like a kid spying on his like sexy neighbor and this weird relationship they have because he's taking the idea of stealing into like the, I think in the Wikipedia it says, possession as human need and temptation. Like, he's taking it to that next level. Like, you don't have to think so simplistically.
Yeah, man.
He's getting deep.
Yeah.
He probably spent more than 10 minutes each thinking about them, though.
Yes.
So let's dive in.
Let's do it. All right.
First, I'm going to need a clock because this is, we need to average 6 minutes each in order to even come close to making this a listenable episode. So clock starts.
Freddie, you tell us when we've been talking about for 5 minutes, and then we have to come up with a log line within 1 minute.
Okay, got it.
Here's how we should do it. I'm going to read the amendment. In the fucking second I am done reading the amendment, you start the clock.
Yes,
all right, here we go.
Okay.
Amendment 1 of the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Start the clock.
Boom, it's going.
First Amendment, fire in a movie theater. Go ahead.
I got you. Start at a dinner table.
Okay.
And a mom is like, hey, eat your broccoli. And the kid looks at her and says, eat my butt. That's how you start this thing.
Okay. And then it says, the freedom of speech. And then it cuts back. Okay, keep going.
And then she does. She eats that butt.
She kills and eats her son's butt. And it's about like, hey, be careful with your speech. It's freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequences, as everyone on Twitter is a fan of saying whenever someone complains that they're being criticized. Yes.
I don't know. I was just trying to take us into a more lighthearted territory.
No, but I like this because this is interesting. If you want to talk about Zags, and you mentioned the Decalogue thing, the first time you used a swear word when you were a kid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's language, and that's freedom of language.
Yeah.
This amendment, this freedom of speech amendment, like, what are we trying to say about the First Amendment? Because, again, it's like, you can say it, right? But, like, again, it's freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequences. Like, what happens to this kid when he back talks to his mom? You know, he's speaking truth to power, and maybe it starts out like you're like, wow, this kid's just being a brat, but then you realize that, like, this is him trying to redress a grievance. He just doesn't know the proper way to, like, express his freedom of speech, like, you know, get more Nintendo time.
Or maybe he's tired of going to church. And then she thinks it's just like a simple thing of him lashing out, and then she grounds him. And then when she comes in, like, what is this? He's got like a shrine and it's like a holy butt. And he's like, that's right, mom. I serve my own religion of the butt. So if you stop me and eat my butt is my way of saying peace be with you. So if you punish me for this, you're being biased against my religion. And then she's like, oh shit.
It's a teachable moment.
It feels like I can either just ground him or this is going to be a teachable moment. I got to play along here and figure out what he's going through. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know where that goes. That feels like a 5 minute.
What if the First Amendment was say it, don't spray it? You know, you ever think about that, guys?
That's true. I have not thought about that. How much time do we have, Freddie?
We're 2.5 minutes in, so.
Okay. Yeah, halfway. Okay. All right. So I was going to pivot this is hard setting, but we don't have time. Okay. So, all right.
We have
kid,
to go with the butt
he's
and
mad
the religion.
At his mom. Our main character is a kid who's mad at his mom. Why is he mad at his mom? Let's start there. Is it okay. She grounded him from Nintendo because he doesn't want to go to church? Is he doesn't like church. Because I like bringing freedom of religion to it, right? Yeah. So he wants to stay home and play Nintendo instead of going to church on Sunday morning.
When she grounds him, he starts circling his bedroom and he starts screaming, freedom of religion or freedom from religion? Freedom
wait,
from
wait, no,
religion,
no, no, hear
mom.
Hear me out. Because okay, I think there's a way to do this without actually talking that much about the First Amendment.
Oh, good,
but here,
good idea.
Hear this out, right? Kid's pissy, he's surly, he doesn't get to game. The mom is like, eat your broccoli, and he says, eat my butt. And she's so mad, she flips out and she grounds him. And he's like, at first he's really upset, right? But then he's like, wait a second, like, I've provoked mom by saying this awful thing. And then the next Sunday at church, he's in church, and then he shouts, eat my butt. And everyone is like scandalized. And then the mom's like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't, like, I gotta bring him to church, but like, I don't want to bring him to church if he's going to embarrass me in front of everybody. So then she's like, what the fuck do I do about this? Like, he's going to start acting out, right? And she can't just leave him at home because then he gets what he wants. He gets to play Nintendo when she's not there. I don't know.
No, that's good. It's kind of like that horrible show, The Slap, but it's like his eat my butt in church is like just ricochets through the entire community because they don't know how to handle
it. Yes, this is very good. Yes. So yes, it's this big scandal.
A bunch of kids start worshiping.
I love that because the idea he got them in Catch-22, it's like, what are they going to do? Force him to go to church? And then he'll just keep screaming, eat my butt in church. And then if he's grounded, it's like, that's fine. Cause like, he doesn't mind staying home. It's better than going to church.
Yes. Yeah, so he would rather stay home and not play video games than go to church. And plus it's like, he can do whatever he wants, right? Like, once you realize your parents like can't kill you for doing something wrong, like they have no power over him anymore. He's like, go ahead, don't go to church. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? Chain me up in my room? Like, I'll break out. I'll go to my friend's house and play video games. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, there's stuff I can do.
You can't kill me, mom.
What he wants is his freedom. That's what he wants at the end of the day. And that's what the mom doesn't realize. It's not really about church. It's about not having a choice. It's about not having any agency over his life. You can get into all the metaphors of like protest and stuff like that. Because it's like, she's like, well, you know, if you want to play a video game, like, you should use your words. You should, like, you know, speak peacefully and be respectful when you say it. And he's like, I tried that, mom. When dad was watching the football game, I tried to talk to you about it and you didn't want to listen to me do it that way. You know, so like acting out is the only way you're going to fucking listen to my demands. And you get into like a civil disobedience thing.
And here comes like the real turn, though, is that he's going to learn about the responsibility of speech, because in screaming, eat my butt every time he goes to church, the only solution the parents have is to not go to church. And what he realizes is that his freedom of saying things is taking away his mom's freedom of going to church because she loves church.
She's being ostracized from the church.
Yeah, it's taking away his mom's freedom of not going to hell.
And her love of going to church, but she loves him so much, like, she's going to do whatever she needs to do to, like, help him through this and, like, deal with him as, like, a kid. And then he realizes, like, you know, one night as she's, like, praying by herself and, like, crying, he's like, oh, my God, my actions are hurting my mom also. Like, I can't just say whatever I want.
People don't consider the government's feelings enough when they're protesting. You're right,
the mom's not the government.
Matt, he's also taking away his mom's ability to not go to hell and they all burn in hell. That's the epilogue. All right. First Amendment in the bag.
Okay,
moving
eat my
on.
Butt, pretty good. Okay.
Moving on. All right. I feel like that one needs a little bit more work.
Nope. Too late. Amendment two. Go.
All right. Amendment two.
We did it. Shark cops.
Shark cop. No, no. No, we're not skipping Amendment two. Amendment two. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Okay, I got it. It's a comedy about a militia trying to be a militia in this day and age.
That's actually very good. It's just like it's about someone actually trying to start a well-regulated militia, and everyone's like, what the fuck? No, you can't start a private army of guys with guns. And they're like, why not? Like, it's the Second Amendment.
Why is he starting a militia? What's the purpose of this militia?
Because
that's going to be...
His mom wants him to go to church.
This is the sequel. Well, Kozlowski does this thing where
characters
flow. This
kid played too many video games, and he grew up and became a right-wing gun nut.
Characters flow in and out of Kozlowski's Decalogue, and sometimes the timeline's a little bit uncertain. And there's a watcher that shows up in every episode. So perhaps you find out...
The camper. He was the camper. Here's what it is. The kid, at the beginning, he's playing Call of Duty, right? And there's a camper in the game watching him. And then the camper, we find out, is this guy in this militia.
Okay. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to... Oh God, the Second Amendment is so juicy. But ultimately, it comes down to, like, the theme, I feel like, would get to, like, what does it mean to have the right to self-defense? Right,
being necessary to the security of a free state.
Don't
right
don't
the
worry. Don't worry so much about the language of the thing. Just
no,
let
no, no.
It
I'm
walk.
Just. It's just okay. Just get off my fucking nuts for a second. Maybe respect my First Amendment right to speak my mind on my own goddamn podcast.
Thank God you two don't have guns. Thank God you two don't have guns or are in person. Otherwise, this could get.
I feel like the gist of the Second Amendment is like if we want to violently overthrow the government, that's our right. Right, like we need to be able to be strapped to fucking like. Well, that's the interpretation,
no,
certainly. Although okay,
that's
it's definitely
what
like,
happened in the '70s. That's all the right, old, that's right, the new right. interpretation because you know what the people that weren't concerned
we're talking too much about like, this okay, amendment okay, and okay, you're not
yes,
talking
yes,
about
right,
the story
yes,
Call
yes,
Duty
yes.
gamers to make a militia.
Yep, okay, they're like yes, we need to make a militia go. Because perfect. A militia lets them get access to all the cool guns
because they wait
what
yeah
they're upset about paying for DLC so they start a well-regulated militia but little do the people like they're just using this to get
just guns just to collect guns
gamer bucks
they're just using it to collect guns
So, yes, it's a bunch of... man, this one's tough. This is deceptively hard.
No, it's a comedy about a guy who's like, hey, I got to protect my homeland. I'm protecting the Canadian border. So he starts a militia of a bunch of fucking, you know, people who are into the idea of being a militia. And it's just like a comedy of the foibles of trying to keep a well-regulated militia. And the whole time the cops are like, you have cops. And then the military and the National Guard is like, we have the military. Like, you have these already. This is an out-of-date thing. He's like, no, we have to do it because that's the only way that I can. And what's the hole that he's trying to fill in his life with this militia?
You want a feeling. Okay. Well,
how about, okay, here to take a zag, to make it not about literal guns. How about it's somebody who starts a protest movement for being against pay to win in like Battlefield. Like he's like, it's unfair that people get different. Like we all deserve the same weaponry.
Yes. Okay.
Like,
okay.
I don't know. I was just trying to think of
how much time do we have, Freddie?
2 minutes.
Oh my God.
I think it's Freddie's idea. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Goofy, all right. All right. So guys, so they start a militia. All right. So the guy starts the militia
for a purpose.
It's a bunch of dum-dums that are like, there's just like, you know, fun. Like, but they take it really seriously. Right. Cause they're like, the main guy is like a constitutional lawyer. Right. And he's like, no, this is really important. Cause you know, it would be like that. They think the British are going to invade again. And then the British invade.
Oh, you know what
right,
you do? You know what this? You know what you do? This is what it is. This is just the true story of, is it Hemingway who just would get in his boat and patrol the waters off of Florida with his like buddies, and they would be like, we're defending the Cuban coast, we're defending Florida, we're defending America, because they thought that, you know, that they were just going around getting trash. And it's just like a story of sad drunk people.
What do they encounter when they're out on the water? Do they encounter nothing?
They meet aliens.
We got one answer to solve.
I've got it. No, no, no. My,
we,
okay. Or you go. Go, then I'll go. But then I think I got
we have one question to solve it. You already stuck us into the corner. It is a guy in a neighborhood starts a well-regulated militia. That's fine. For this log line, all we need is why does he start a well-regulated militia and what are the complications?
No. I've got let me throw this at you.
Okay.
These guys start a well-regulated militia. They do exactly what Freddie said, which is they go out on the water to patrol the coast in case Canada's going to invade, right? Like this is their thing. They take
in
it
Washington,
really seriously.
They're Washington State. Yeah, they're the
Yes. And then they get lost at sea. And they are now on their boat, and then the boat itself becomes a metaphor for America and all of the problems of gun violence in America, because now there's all these fucking armed-to-the-teeth people on the boat, and then they're trying to survive at sea, and they're catching fish, and then one guy takes all the guns and is like, I'm going to control who, gets the fish or whatever, and they're like, this is bullshit. And then it becomes about, like that amendment in this smaller context, and ironically, they were all on the same side vis-a-vis, like, the outside world, but then, like, the us versus them nature of it breaks down again in the and we see that guns cause tyranny as much as they can defend against it.
Sure, right. A little Twilight Zone-y, but like done.
Got it. All right. Woo. Amendment 3, hit me.
No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So this is the classic, they just did this one in Washington where they kicked the Utah National Guard out of the hotels. Like, if you're the army, you can't just show up and live in someone's house. You gotta,
it's a little
like,
bit weird at the end, you can. Like, in wartime, that can be the case, but Congress has to make a specific law for it to happen.
Yes.
Even.
Okay, yes. Okay, well, all right, let's say that law happens.
Yeah, let's say it's a soldier who's trying to get, like, a night at this haunted Airbnb that he, like, really wants to try out, but they're like, no, you don't, we're not letting you into this one. And he's like, we need to start a war so I can stay at this Airbnb.
Okay. Wait, sorry, say that again. Sorry.
He's saying that they start a war so that he can stay in an Airbnb. Also, I think the protagonist should be a lady in this one, since it was two guys for the last one.
Okay.
I was going to say, what happens if you make it like a less literal war in soldiers and do like two feuding families and one of the families is on vacation and then one of the kids from the other family is like, I don't know, gets their parents to yell at him and he runs off and he hides in the house of the, family rivals. And it's kind of like Gone Home-esque where like the consequence of it, I don't know, like he lives in this house of his rivals and then like learns all about them or something, and like the weight of the war kind of, I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay, all right, actually hold on, what about this, let's bring this back to the domestic family we left this time. It's about the sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hear me out.
Okay.
It's her room, damn it. This is my room. You got to stay out of my room.
Yeah.
But the little brother's room is in the basement and got flooded,
mm-hmm.
and the parents need the brother to live with the sister now. And so they put the brother in her room, and she's really mad about it.
Okay, I can see that. Now I want this whole thing to be about the 10...
It's all at this house. Yes, you're right. Okay, yes. Amendment 2 is the dad on a hunting trip with his boys.
Yes. Yes.
It's the same story. They get lost in the woods. It's like his militia. They go out and play soldier in the woods and run training drills, and then they get stranded in the woods, and then it turns into this like this sort of drama about tyranny. Anyway, back to
the
whole. It's all about an American family. I love it.
Yeah. I'd say that the whole family is on a trip, and the son wants like a BB gun, and he says no, and then during the trip, like he gets like a slingshot instead, and then like they
yes.
all. Anyways,
that's great. Yeah,
and he ends up like hitting his sister's eye
guns.
Out or
the
something.
The kids want guns and two. Okay, yes, very
okay,
good.
Okay, good. Okay,
and then yes, dad's hogging all the snacks because he's like, I need to be in charge of the snacks. Okay, all right.
Okay, yeah. So she has a sign up, her own Third Amendment that says no boys allowed, right?
Yes,
for her room, and then the room, the downstairs gets flooded, so all of her brothers, like let's say it's like two sisters. Had like three brothers making a big house or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and all three of them now have to share. So like the mom comes up and rips down the no boys allowed. So they're changing the laws now that it's time of
war.
Oh,
I got your next heat. I got your next heat right here. Is you do that the she's unhappy, right? But this would count as like this isn't a situation prescribed by law because the parents have decided that like this is it's an emergency. The downstairs is flooded, right? But then all the kids seem to be getting along upstairs, and then old Pops is like, hey, wait a second, what about that den/office/workout room we've always wanted, Mom?
Yes, that's good.
And then the kids realize, like, wait a second, like it's like all those conspiracy theories about how FEMA is like really about taking control and establishing martial law and stuff. They find the plans for the house remodel, and they're like, what the fuck is going on, right?
Yeah, because the classic, a few people take some time off, and the business finds out they work just as well with, four workers instead of six workers, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, maybe we don't need four workers. So here, same thing. It's like all of a sudden, it's like the four bedrooms turn into two bedrooms for an emergency. But, you know, the kids get along so well. Maybe we never needed four bedrooms. Maybe Dad can have his his workspace once this flood gets cleaned up. That's
okay,
great.
So then the kids have to put aside their differences. It's like soldiers are just Americans too, right? Like in a time of war with an occupying force, right? Like the boys are like the occupying force in the room and the girls aren't getting along with them. But then they're like, you know, we got to put aside their differences and like go after the people who are really, you know, forcing us into this bad situation. And so then they together form like a people's army and occupy the parents' room.
Okay. All right. They refuse to leave. 5 minutes in. I need a log line.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that's it. We did it. Yeah, that's good enough. We did it.
Good enough. All right. Next one. Amendment 4. Hit me.
All right. Amendment 4.
I'll give you the simple version afterwards.
All right. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, are particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Essentially, right of privacy. Nobody can search your body, your house, or your papers unless they can prove to a judge they have a good reason for the search, a warrant.
Okay, so basically, I think I already have this one.
Okay.
Because I came up with an idea for Dimension 404 back in the day that I actually think would be perfect with this. And it's literally kind of the stuff we've been talking about, which is, it's like you know that movie, The Conversation, like about surveillance?
Yeah.
It's like that, but in a domestic context, right? So let's say we got one of the girls, right? And she's having a tough time at school, but she has this really close relationship with her mom, who, you know, is always like, seems to know when she's upset and seems to know when she's struggling with stuff and is like, you know, like able to talk to her and stuff like that. And she realizes that the mom has like bugged her cell phone. Like the kid realizes that it's like the mom is like the NSA, right? And the kid realizes that and then it's like, holy shit, that's how she knew about this party that I was trying to sneak off to. And then they busted me. They were waiting for me when I got home. How do we get tipped off? So it's essentially the kids realize the parents are bugging them and monitoring everything in their house. This is maybe too much like the other one. Because then they turn the tables and they're monitoring the parents. Man, never mind. Let's do something else.
Just the thing that this reminded me of is you hear about like these stories where like they can't force you to unlock your phone. But if your phone recognizes your face, it will unlock it. I just thought like I'm always a closed room mystery where it's like there's something on the phone and this person has like a code and is just refusing to do it. So it's this like tense hostage negotiation sort of thing. All around like trying to figure out the code to a phone. I've always thought was kind of cool.
This is not that, but bear with me. It's along similar lines.
Okay.
This would be, hear me out. So you do, there's like a, and so say it's 1998 or whatever. This is at a time when there's a family computer.
Okay.
And
okay.
Someone looked up porn on the family computer.
I didn't do it.
And so then you would do, mom wants to find out who looked up the porn, and she doesn't fucking trust anybody. It's just like, everybody's up for grabs. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Especially the husband.
So it's like one of these, and everyone's swearing up and down that they didn't do it, and it's like starting to tear the family apart, and then everyone else is like, look, we need to figure out who the fuck did it, and so then everyone starts rooting around through each other's secrets and stuff like that. Like this stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If only for the funny scene when like the mom and dad are in bed and like they're, you know, they're both reading or whatever. And then the dad's like, huh, just question, what kid would he be the most disturbed by if they were the one that was looking at porn? And then she stops and stares at him. She's like, you think you're not a suspect either? He's like, what? I'm just, you know, which one? He's like, is that your game? You're going to pretend it's one of the kids? Like, it was. He's got to go downstairs, sleep on the couch. Okay
so sure. Here's what I like about this. Here's what I like. Or bear with me. If you wanted to do it a different way, like another flip on it, it would be like one of the kids gets busted for it. And he's like, this is bullshit. I didn't look up that porn. He's like, this is bullshit. This is straight porn. I'm a gay kid. I didn't fucking look up this porn. So, or I don't know. If you were going to do it, someone on this quest, right, to find out who the real culprit is, it's a story about privacy from a different angle, which is what is the toll that it takes on the person who's snooping, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially, yes. You would do that. This person winds up discovering all of the, in their quest to like right themselves, discovers all of these things they weren't ready to know about the other members of the family, whether it's how they feel about them. If it's the kid, he discovers like heavy duty, like, you know, like the dad got laid off and is deep in debt, or like the mom's having an affair.
I figured it out because, yes, we need a zag. Otherwise, this is just going to be a bunch of domestic bullshit. I think she finds out the husband is sleeping with another woman. That's the end of this episode. Because that gets us ready for Amendment 5. Because I want to go. We need to get a little more ham here.
Okay. All right. So then it's the kid finds out that the dad is cheating on the mom.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And it's like, be careful. Like, yes, your privacy was violated by not only the person who looked this up on your computer, but, you know, like people started snooping around. So you turned the tables and then you paid the price because you learned something you can't unlearn. And that's why we have the right to privacy.
Yes.
I guess.
So that your
sure.
dad can get away with adultery.
No, it's not that. It's just
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That'll do it.
All right.
Amendment 5.
No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising from arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service of time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case due to be witness against himself, nor deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
I don't quite get the subtle difference between Amendment 5 and 6. It's like, 6 is like you're arrested. If you're arrested and charged with a crime, you have a right to trial.
6 is right to speedy public trial. 5 is like your rights in that trial.
Yeah, this is like double jeopardy is a specific one out of this.
You can't be killed.
You have to get indicted by a jury. Yeah.
Okay, because I was definitely going to be like, six the is husband's like, on trial now, right?
Not the dad. I feel like 5 and 6 is a two-parter. And like,
okay, because I was gonna say you can't be killed. All I got to was that I was looking at the simplified version of the Bill of Rights from the ACLU, and it just said you can't be killed or put in jail or fined unless you were convicted of a crime by a jury. And I was like, this one, the halfway point should end with the husband dying, like the husband gets killed by the mother or something. I don't know. I was like, can we get this a little bit wild?
Otherwise, infamous crime, unless on a presentment or indictment. To me, this is like, okay, because yes, it's the crime is the adultery, right? Like that's the crime against the family, right? It's he's sleeping around. And okay, so I like that. And so this is about, especially if the next one, because the next one, like right to a speedy and public trial is like, how long is this guy going to be in the doghouse for what he did is what 6 feels like to
divorce.
Me. And 6 is about forgiveness. Do you know what I mean? So 5 is about like, this is like, I feel like there's movies like this. It's like a gut wrenching movie about someone doing a trial. It's like Crime and Punishment, right? It's like someone doing a crime and trying to get away with it. Or it's like he's been caught. I'm trying to think. Okay. All right.
Okay. What's good about if you, in Amendment 4, if you do that, one of the kids finds out about the dad, not the wife yet,
yes,
right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Because then the cost is she doesn't even know the cost of this porn search has had yet, right? She just thinks, oh well, I never solved it, it's bugging her, right? But she doesn't realize that this her journey has essentially like destroyed her son's, you know, view of her father. Now her son's got this like weight on him as he's like he knows something that nobody else knows. Okay, so yes, 5 can be essentially like a Coen brother-esque
this,
like
no,
the
no,
dad,
I got it. 5 is 12 Angry Men, but it's the kids deciding what to do about what they learned about the dad.
Oh, God. So wait, when the
so
kids
here,
because
here's
the other
here,
kid.
Okay, yeah, they call a quorum of the kids, right?
Yeah.
And it's literally 12 Angry Men. It's like, do we really know dad was cheating, right? They lay out the facts. They have to prove what's going on. But it's the opposite, right? It's one person convincing all of them that the dad really did this, right? And it's this devastating thing. But then it's also them debating what to do, right? Do they tell dad to break it off? Do they tell mom, like, do they just keep it to themselves? And like, that's essentially the moral question, like, what are dad's rights in the situation, right? Like, we can't just go to mom. Dad deserves a chance to answer for what, you know, like to say something, right? Like, but we can't say nothing. Like, what if we go to him and he, you know, just tries to cover up the evidence and he says we're lying? Mom will believe us over dad, right? Like, or mom will believe dad over us. So like, to me, that's what this one is. It's wrestling with what to do.
Okay, this is good. This is the ending of 5. What you do in the end of 4 is like the little final tag is like, you know, whatever, there's some nice solving thing where she's like, you know, the family comes together. It's like, okay, like, you know, whoever it is, I hope we trust each other. Like, you know, you can come talk to me if you need to talk to you about your sexuality or whatever. Like, okay, I didn't mean to go into all your diaries and open up your stuff or whatnot. And then she's like, wakes up in the middle of the night and she sets up a nanny cam pointing at the computer because like she still can't trust her kids, right? So it's like this thing's still bothering her. So in 5, these kids have this 12 Angry Men scene because the parents go on like a date or whatever. They go out and have dinner, and then you cut to like the two of them just watch. They like at one point during the dinner, like, hey, we should check the nanny cam, just make sure they're doing okay. And like they just saw the entire like the kids, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like that robs you of the moment where they decide what to do with the information. I think you need to see them decide and then make their thing, right? Like, so what do they do, right? Because, yes,
maybe they do decide.
Here's what I think you do. I do like, by the way, that it is like on this date, it's excruciating, right? Because these kids are slowly deciding to condemn their dad by revealing this secret. But, like, on the date, like, it seems like the dad is, like, making up for what he's done. He hasn't told the wife what's going on, but it's like, I don't know, or something like that. Like, I like the idea of cross, although there is part of me that just likes it being like a sweaty boiler room. We're just trapped.
Yeah, I think he's just doing
the
kids. I think you do that. The kids decide not to tell the mom.
Okay.
Is what you could do.
4 minutes, and 33 then... seconds. We're running under the five.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know. Just a thought. It's just, I'm just trying to like also give like some momentum from the other. If you do that, like the kids decide not to tell the mom because it's adult stuff and they don't know and they, it's not fair. They're not a child. They don't understand everything that's going on. And, you know, it's not their place to affect their parents' marriage or something, whatever the settlement is. Or
they don't know if it would be perfect justice, right?
Yes.
They don't know. And so then they, yes, like maybe they chicken out or something like that. Although I kind of feel like they should vote to tell the mom. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was going to say if they vote not to, then you still get the thing. You get the decision that they chose not to.
Yes.
But then you have this payoff from episode four where they did see the mom was looked in the nanny cam and heard them discussing the dad's affair. So
yes,
still...
actually, you're right. That's great. I like that they have this heady thing, and then they make this very high-minded decision to be like, it would be unprincipled, too. Like, there's no, without true due process, there is no justice. So, like, it is not, even though we know this horrible thing about our dad, like, you know, half of us would be doing this out of revenge, which is wrong. You know, it's like
yeah,
they make this
they
very
even...
principled thing, and then she just finds out. Yes.
It's going to be a wrong decision that the kids are just scared to lose their family, so they just don't want to do it.
All right, yes. We'll get to six. We're going to get to six, but we need to take a breather. We need to take a quick break.
Oh, God. Yeah,
this family,
Jesus.
Is it going to survive? I don't know.
No,
we got
this family's going through hell.
We're going to find out. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right.
We are the host of My Brother and Me, and now, nearly 10 years into our podcast, the secret can be revealed. All the clues are in place, and the world's greatest treasure hunt can now begin.
Embedded in each episode of My Brother and Me is a micro clue that will lead you to 14 precious gemstones all around this big, beautiful blue world of ours.
So start combing through the episodes. Let's say starting at episode 101 on.
Yeah, the early episodes are pretty problematic, so there's no clues in those episodes.
No, not at all.
The better ones, the good ones, clues ahoy.
Listen to every episode repeatedly in sequence. Laugh if you must, but mainly get all the great clues. My Brother and Me, it's an advice show, kind of, but a treasure hunt, mainly. Anywhere you find podcasts or treasure maps, My Brother and Me, the hunt is on.
All right, we're back with Amendment 6.
Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses to in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Okay. So okay. This is like the trial of the dad, right? Especially if the last one ends with them being like, we are not a jury of dad's peers. We are kids. We are not adults. We don't understand. Yeah. For the good of the country, of the house, we're going to let this one go, right? It's like they're like cops, essentially. Now it's like the trial. This is law. The last one was law. This one's order. So how do we want to frame this?
So this is essentially the dad's trial.
Yes.
And it has to be speedy. And if you can't afford a lawyer, I mean, maybe you just do... Okay. What's the angle on this? Like, is this about the divorce? Is this like,
I think it's, what are we going to do about this for sure? I don't know that it needs to even literally go to divorce. Like, to me, it's like an emotional trial, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like the mom is the main character of this one.
Yes.
And I think it's like the,
maybe she kicks him out of the house.
I can see multiple trials, right? It's him against
the
kids.
Yes, I actually like that idea.
It's him and the mom.
Because I also want to bring his militia buddies back into this, because you can definitely make it. It's like the
Wait,
militia,
is it militia buddies,
wife.
Or is it a hunting trip with like the family?
Oh shit, that's right. I think there's got to be a militia element to it. Like, okay, I like the idea that the dad's militia buddies.
Okay,
because I want them to come back here.
Okay.
And so
militia,
it's like
buddies.
So, but I like this idea of a speedy and public trial, and. Okay, so this secret has gotten out, right? And so, like, you would do, especially if you were going to do that, like, it was one of his friend's wife or something like that. You know, it's in the militia. Like, it's caused a rift in the militia, too. And, you know, things are bad back home. You know, like, the mom is going through, like, a kind of, I hate this because it's so gendered, but it would be like the dad's dealing with it with the militia. The mom's dealing with it because the lady's at her book club or something like that. It doesn't have to be book club. You don't have to make it stereotypical. But the mom's got, like, you know, something going on too. I'm trying to think.
Now, real quick, what if the kids all are live streaming this?
They're live streaming.
Okay.
A public trial, right?
Well, I mean,
like,
I just mean
public
in terms
shamed.
Of like their social circle.
No, I know, but like, but it's publicly shamed.
The specific thing about Amendment 6 is like really, right? It's the idea of a speedy trial, a fair and speedy trial, correct?
Yes. Oh, here's something.
Well, let me finish, because the reason why Speedy's important, why it's put in there, is because it's the acknowledgement, both like on emotional level or on a legal level, like the trial itself is a form of punishment and difficulty for all parties involved, and like healing and the justice can't happen until the trial is done. So like, you can't just drag it out.
It's this also a like process. A very specific safeguard against people just getting thrown. The dang, I mean, it's just fucked up because it happens all the time. But it's like, you're like, all right, you're going to be in jail for 3 years before we put you on trial.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, that denies someone's freedom.
And that
right?
in of itself is its own punishment and crime. So like, you can't allow that. So like,
okay. So
maybe she just needs to divorce him quick. It's like,
you know what I like that is, here's what I would say then, is that you would do that. It is like, they're in this awful limbo over what's happened, right? And she's vacillating between whether to forgive him and, you know, can she still trust him? Can she, you know, like, they almost don't even want to deal with it to start with, right?
Yes.
But it's like this agony of purgatory that their marriage is in, because they're not facing facts, is in some ways worse than...
Yeah, she knows it's over, and she's scared of saying it's over, but she knows, you know, even before this happened, like, there's a problem, and you'd be planting this... ahead of time. By the way, the version of the Watcher in this should just be like a weird neighbor next door, like a little kid like on a bike that always ends up like staring through the window and ends up seeing them at the most vulnerable moments. Anyways,
weird, weird.
The Watcher is just like a fisherman guy in the Decalogue. Yes, the idea that, right, thematically, ultimately, it would be like, it's obviously what he did was much worse, but it is the idea that her unwillingness to finally just like admit it's over is in of itself its own form of injustice, because like, if he can't fix this, she needs to let him know, because this is dragging on. It's affecting everybody, right? The kids and her. Like, she's not able to heal until this is accepted either. But it's hard. It's hard to finally, like, say, like, no, I'm not, like, the correct response for this, you know,
is we
sin
have to
against
break
me.
Up. Yes.
Is we have to break up.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, this is just the depressing, slow episode of the dad trying to fix things and the mom slowly coming to the acceptance that her life isn't what she thought it was going to be, and that, you know, in order to become her own person again and like move on with her life, she has to end this. And, you know, they're just gonna have to deal with the fact that they're a separated family now.
One minute.
Yeah. So essentially what it would be is, and you can do all the ways that they're trying to process this, right? They are going to couples therapy. They are, you know, trying to have open conversations.
Yes.
No, not open conversations with their kids, but like they're, but you know, like she's talking to her friends about it, you know, like she's talking to her parents about it, and she's trying to talk to him about it, but it's just, she can't deal with it, right? She can't even be sleeping in the same bed as him. And then you would do, it's like her, the whole time it's like she has yet to end her trial of him, right? Because she is the judge here, and the second she comes, she knows in her heart what the judgment is. She just can't face herself to accept it, because once she does, it's over, right? When she says, you have done something that I cannot forgive, you know, then the marriage is over. And like, you know, so she essentially eventually, it comes to this moment of realizing that she is putting him through a hell with this, and that she loves him. And, you know, in a part of that love means, you know, despite the fact that she's so angry at him, making this final decision to let it, to end it, you know?
It's essentially the story of Marriage Story.
Yeah, it's Marriage Story in an hour.
All right.
Okay.
Seven.
I got seven. You can read it, and then I got it.
Okay. Amendment Final Fantasy VII Remake. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of law in the United States than according to the rules of the common law. So this is where
you have a right to
jeopardy?
Jury.
Huh?
You have a right to a jury when it's a civil case, essentially.
Okay.
What if even it's a case between
real
two
quick,
people.
Real quick, I know where you're going with this, Matt. I'm sure you have something.
Do you?
But what if instead of suits, it's like a suit that you wear and it's worth the $20?
No. It's who's the person that's going to be judged without a fair trial by a jury? It's the new stepdad. So it's
Oh my God, that's so good.
It's the mom that the dad is dating. It's the new guy who comes in and he makes some minor he does some minor thing, like buys 5 movie tickets instead of 6, so they end up not being able to go. Like, he just does something really minor, and the kids hate him. Like, it's over. And he's like, you didn't even give him a chance. Like, you gotta, like, this is not fair. The kids are essentially judging him without any sort of trial. So I don't
know
exactly
where
it goes.
This is very good.
But
I
feel like that's a good setup for it.
Yes. Yes, that's hilarious. Okay, so yes, the kids hate the new dad, the new guy that the mom is dating, right?
Yeah, they're judging him unfairly.
Okay, so... the right of a trial by jury. So what is the...
It's specifically that you have the right in a civil case as well, not a federal... So it's a law case between two people rather than between you and the government. So if it's between you and another person, you do have the right for it to be a jury trial if you so wish. You can also go to arbitration and other stuff in a civil case. But just saying that even if it's between you and another person,
okay,
it's a civil
case. Okay,
so now,
but how is this a civil case? That's what I kind of don't quite get.
Well, it's not a federal crime. It's they have a problem. He did something wrong to them, and they have a problem with him. So there's a problem between the two of them, and they've judged him without any sort of trial by jury, which would be the mom. Like, they don't even let.
No, 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 but hold on, because are they the. In that metaphor, they are not the judge. They are the complaint. They're the plaintiff. They're the one who wants to do the lawsuit. So they would be the ones who have the right to a trial by jury. Like, that would be the problem. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think you should get, like, caught up on the interpretation, the literalness of it. I think it's just the feeling of it, right?
I guess, no, but I know, but I guess I'm being nitpicky because I don't quite feel that that captures the spirit of what this is about.
Okay, if it was the law, it is the kids are suing the stepfather.
Yes.
But they are not giving, like, right, this is to defend, like, if I were to sue Microsoft, mm-hmm. they wouldn't want it to be
with
a jury.
So they're just being mean to him. Yeah. That's the punishment.
Yes.
So
he has the right to go to the mom or have other people see what happened. But they're just saying, no, you don't get a right to a trial by jury. We just hate you. We're suing you and you've lost. It's over. Like, we've decided. Like, or whatever.
Okay.
It's like, he's not getting a fair case.
So it feels
trial.
Like he's the main character then,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
And he wants to win the kids over. Essentially, yes. was what it is that he yes. wants to win the kids over. And so, yes, he buys them like a present, but he buys them the video game they want, but it's for the wrong console. Right.
Oh,
and then he loses the receipt.
Oh,
and
he can't return it.
He can't return it. And the mom won't let them tell him even that it's the wrong console. Or I don't know. I'm trying to think of what. Why does he just go buy the other one?
What I like is maybe they don't tell him. The real sin is that they don't even
tell
him.
Oh, they're mad. They don't tell him. You're right.
They don't tell him why they're mad at him.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't essentially even get. That's what it is. It's just
he doesn't
it's
get
not
to redress the. Yeah.
Yes, that's the thing. So he's stuck at this thing. And by the way, it should be a little Easter egg that he bought like a used game. They're already annoyed that it's used and not new. It should be like $20.99. It's like just over $20. So just barely fits.
Yeah.
Easter egg there. Okay. All right. This is good though. So they're mad at him. And really, it's the deeper thing, which is you're not our dad, right? And like,
yes,
we're
yes.
like, if we're mean to him, maybe he'll just give up and leave mom, right?
Yes.
Like, that's essentially the gambit here, right?
Yes,
and so they haven't really given him a chance to be a stepdad, right? Because not only, which is, again, you know, proven by the fact that they haven't even told him that they don't like the game. In fact, they're all lying to him and saying that they're playing the game and they really like it, but they're really fucking with him and undermining him or whatever, right? So they're being shitty. The guy's trying to win them over. How does the situation come to a head?
I'm trying to think. I like the idea that they keep telling him that he's playing and then he wants to watch them play, but they won't let him. So like he even goes on like game FAQs and like reads some walkthroughs
game
so he can like
FAQs.
Kind of learn about the game. And he's like being like, oh weird, you guys got to the lava level already? He's like, oh shit, how the fuck does he know about the lava level?
Yeah.
But then he should figure out that they're lying because he really researches the game. He's like, there's no lava level. Anyways.
We got a minute. Got a minute.
1 minute. Oh shit.
The real dad has to convince them to give the new dad a chance.
Yes.
Do you know what
yes.
I mean? Because it's like they've been gossiping to the new dad about the old dad. And
the old dad doesn't even know how cool our PS4 is.
The real dad comes over because it's his time or whatever, and he sees the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, what's this? He's like, oh, I just bought it for your kids. They seem to really love it. And the dad knows it's for the wrong console. And he
yes.
stares at it. He's like, they've been telling you that they've been playing it? Like, yeah, they really don't like me. And the dad has a chance to, like, be an asshole about it. But he realizes what's going on. And he sits the kids down and essentially tells them about the Seventh Amendment. And says, you guys need a...
I feel like I want to make it more sense. I feel like it's tough. Like, I'm trying to, like, come up with, like, that. What is that last thing of them giving the new stepdad a chance? Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what does
yeah.
that mean, essentially? Do they tell him what's going on? They finally have to tell him, and he's like, all right, well, I'll take you to the store and get another one? Or, like, I don't know. I'm like, it feels a little inert. I'm trying to deal with that punchline. Maybe they do give him a real chance, and they're like, oh, no, this guy does suck. And then they still hate him. But they hate him honestly now.
Well, 8 kind of gets into that a little bit, to be fair.
8's about cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah.
Shit.
They go to tell the new stepdad about the game, and then they find out that the stepdad is also cheating on the mom. It's like, see, you needed to give him a fair chance so you'd really know why you should hate him.
Yeah, we probably should combine. I think that will just be a separate thing, a cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, well, that's not this. That's we'll get to 8 in a second. How much time do we have, Freddy?
We gotta go. We gotta move.
How about this? I don't know. Maybe the kids go and save up all their allowance to buy the real copy of the game and then call the stepdad in and, you know, be like, hey, will you play with us?
They need him to beat it because it's too hard.
They decide to take their dad's advice and they're going to give him a chance, and they're also not going to... you know, I don't know. It's kind of like they're not quite ready to like tell him like what he did because they're embarrassed of their stupidity and they just want to give him a chance without it being about anything. I don't know.
Let's move on to eight, though. We got to move.
Okay, yes. Here's what I would say. Last thing, Freddie, is that you do that. The grievance gets redressed, right? He goes out and buys them the new game and they're like, well, maybe he's not that bad. And then the last thing is they're playing the new game, but they all suck at it because they don't know how to play it because it's too hard. But the stepdad, because he's been doing all this research on the game to have the conversations with them, is like, oh, I can show you how to play it. And then they let him show him how to play the game. And then the old dad is like tearfully watching, and then like there's like a little look across the hallway, and then he's like, hey, I gotta be okay with this.
And then the old dad is looking at the new dad playing the game with all the kids, and then he sees the wife across the thing. He's like, hey, does he satisfy you as well as me? And she goes, no, he doesn't. And he's like, you want a quickie? And they go, yeah. And then the two parents go back together.
So
you know,
video
I mean,
games tears this family apart. This is like a soap opera.
Okay, no, we don't do that. Okay,
hit me
okay,
with eight.
All right. Amendment eight. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. I feel like we've been in fucking parent divorce land long enough. It's time to get into something else.
Disneyland jail.
Disneyland jail. Holy shit. What? Matt.
I'm interested.
Matt.
You do.
That's
what?
Brilliant.
Yeah, maybe you just do, because that seems like the most cruel and unusual punishment you could possibly do, which is to rob a kid from enjoying Disneyland because of a minor infraction, such as wanting to leap onto
Mickey Mouse's back.
Yeah, or like, oh, I mean, the classic one is, right, who doesn't want to jump onto one of the islands in Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
I will say this. In that case, you could also do that. It's the family is going to go to Disneyland, but one of the kids, maybe the kid who said, eat my butt or whatever, is not going to get to come. And he's got to stay at home. And that's the punishment, right?
That's cruel. That would be like him. So you either be like, he's trying to get Disneyland. I was thinking you do a breakout, like the kids break out their brother.
Yes.
So here, Disneyland jail.
Like, I mean, this is the, okay. So actually there's a very good Pete and Pete episode that's kind of this, which is great, where it's like, he's not going to get to go to 4th of July because he's grounded, and they do like Great Escape where he tunnels out of his room. But okay, so here's what you do. Because you want to get the excessive bailout in there, right? So here's what you do. The kid breaks. Okay, so you start with a kid conflict. Let's make it the girl. So the girl breaks something that belongs to the boy. Like, they're getting into a fight, and she shatters, like, his big titty anime girl statue. And it was, like, $800, right? Because it's the pervy older brother who's, like, smokes weed in the basement or whatever, right? What? Not this pervy to the family. He's just a loser high school brother with big titty anime girls.
I imagine all the kids pretty young, so now in my head, there's, like, a 10-year-old girl, like, a 9-year-old boy, and then this 19-year-old stoner.
It's like fucking 17 with a string. And this is the first time you see him, I think. Like, he's got a stringy goatee and bunch of statuettes of Catwoman bending over in provocative poses.
He was such a bad kid. That's why it took the parents 7 years to decide to have a second one. They're like, we don't want another one of these, do we?
Okay.
It's like that.
So
sure.
She breaks his Catwoman statuette. And he's fucking pissed, and he's a little shit, so he narcs her out to the mom. And the mom is like, until you pay that back, you're grounded, right? She's like, but mom, my allowance is like $10 a month. I can't
pay. She's like, yeah, it's a toy. It's a toy. It's probably $20. And she walks away, and the guy turns around like, it's a limited edition.
2 weeks. What
and
do you care?
It's $634.
Yeah, like, yeah. And the mom is just like not having any sympathy for the daughter, right? So it's excessive bail, right? So now their whole family is going to Disneyland. And she's grounded and she doesn't get to go. And she's like so pissed and she's stuck in her room and she's sulking all day. And then I think you do that. It's like the shitty stoner older brother who starts to realize that this isn't right. Right. Yeah. That he's
That's
like,
not
this
right
is cool
that he
and
spent $600.
Oh, and then he takes her to Disneyland with the power of drugs. You know what's the best part about that is when she doesn't go, it's like, hey, you know, the price of the ticket can go towards, you know, paying him back. And then they look and they're like, oh, that's only paying him back like halfway. It's still not even there yet.
The way Freddie said it, this is not the like the Dazed and Confused version of this would be she pays him like $20 because that's all the money that she has, but it's not enough for his anti-action figure. And he's like, whatever. Like, you think he's just going off to Disneyland, but he feels bad. He comes back. He's like, hey, I use those $20 to buy us some joints. You want to smoke your first joint with me? I'll show you a trip better than Disneyland. And then that's, you know.
I don't think it's the brother, because I think you make this a thing about how our fucked up criminal justice system, like, criminalizes people, right? Mm-hmm. So you do. She's in the joint now, right? She's locked up in the house. And she then essentially, she's pissed. So she's like, I'm going to go break more of my brother's stuff. like for revenge, right? And then mm-hmm. she finds his secret stash down there. She finds his drugs and starts getting high and like fucking. But essentially, she just becomes a bad kid by the end of this because this she was just subjected to cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, you want a bad kid? Now you got one.
The mom comes back home and she's like, "Oh fuck, I got two of yeah." Because you do the two of them bond as the bad kids, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, because she always hates the brother, and the brother's like, "I'm not going to Disneyland. Disneyland fucking sucks," right? So now she has to hang out with the brother for a day because like he's in charge, right? He has to babysit her because everyone else is going to Disneyland. So he's kind of annoyed about it too. But then they essentially wind up bonding, and then they become she sort of takes after him at the end, and it's like now it's like aha, by doing this cruel and unusual punishment, you've not only done something harsh and you know excessive to your child, you've also turned them against you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've damaged your relationship with them in a way that is now going to undermine you, right? Now it's the two of them, like the mom comes back and the two of them have clearly been getting high and they're laughing.
1 minute.
And they're conspiring with each other. And now it's like, oh shit, now these two are going to start undermining the other kids. It's like, oh, I fucked up. Maybe I should have treated her with a little bit more compassion.
Okay. Yeah, I think we could go with that.
Yeah,
so she becomes
solid.
Like a stud. It's something.
All right.
Okay.
Number nine.
I have no idea what we're going to do with nine.
All right. Amendment nine. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So what does that mean? It's just like this is
just because these rights are listed in the Constitution doesn't mean that you don't have other rights. It's essentially just saying like it's a whole amendment saying like, hey, like these aren't all your rights. These are just the ones we've written.
It's the chore chart. So there's like everyone has chores, right? Like, it's like everyone in the house has chores, and then a new chore shows up that, like, needs to get done, but it's not assigned to anybody on the chore chart. So it's like, no, I'm not fucking doing that. This is my chore. And the mom is like, no, like, this is the... Actually, I feel like it's tough. I don't want the mom to
you're right.
This
here's what it is. No, this is good. It's the chore chart, but there's, like, somebody spills, like, something stupid. It's like, it's not this, but just for the sake of... It's like, there's a banana peel on the floor. Mm-hmm. And technically, there's no specific chore. Like, it's, like, not technically in the trap. Like, one's, like, clean the kitchen floor. Like, it's yeah, just, like, there's no... So everybody walks past
specific.
This banana.
It's too specific.
So nobody cleans up this banana. Even the mom's annoyed. Like, hey, which one of you is going to clean up this banana peel? Like, it's like, oh, I guess we'll figure out. I think Stacy is... She's responsible for the kitchen floor. And then she comes mm-hmm. later. It's like, it's not the kitchen floor. So none of them deal with it. And then, like, the mom's slips on the banana and breaks her neck. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's a whole thing about nobody's doing this thing. It's like, but the point of the chores is that we all are working together to clean the house. Like, we're all aware
now,
that
I will
somebody
say,
needs to clean up this banana.
The weird thing about this is that it's actually, like, if you think about it, like, the Bill of Rights is not, like, things that you as a citizen have to do. It's, like, things that you get no matter what. So, like, it feels, like, more like it would be, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Although that is pretty fun.
It is, because it's essentially a clarification of
the
spirit of the law.
Yes,
yeah, the spirit of the law here is that we're obviously putting together a Bill of Rights that are human rights.
Yes.
And it'd be being pedantic to be like, well, technically, like, you know, this eighth thing is like, well, no, obviously you have other rights too. So like, we just haven't listed everything. So it's like, we've listed all these chores, but clearly, like, just a general help out around the house is the idea of this. This is a way to categorize and make it easier for us to understand what's going on, but you're being freaking pedantic if nobody's gonna clean up this banana on the floor.
Yes,
because of what
I
it is.
So like that
it's the spirit of the law sort of thing.
I like that. And let's okay, I like that one of the parents then slips on the banana and, like, fucks up their back.
Really
and
hurts themselves.
Yeah, they're, like, they broke their ankle, and now they can't do anything, right? The parent who's always, like, if it's the stepdad, right? Let's, you know, flip the gender role around. The stepdad is the one who's always doing, like, making sure everyone's got the chore list and stuff like that. And the mom's always coming home from work. She's like, look, I'm too tired. Like, I know it's my chore, but I'll do it in the morning. Like, right? Like, she's like, so you would do the stepdad, like, turfs it and breaks his ankle, right? And now it's like he's been picking up the slack on the chores for everybody else, and now mm-hmm. the house is descending into chaos around him. And then they all have to remember what the point of the chore chart was, which was that this was an agreement that we were all going to come together to take care of each other.
Yes. And then they all come together. Oh, do you know what it is? Okay, no, this is good. Okay. Are you saying the mom gets hurt?
Make it the stepdad. I don't want to make it just the mom.
No,
the
stepdad
like
gets hurt, and he needs a lot of help. So now there's a new chore chart for, like, all the things he needs. Like, you know, obviously the mom's going to do,
like, two chore charts. It's like concentric chore circle.
You know, somebody's got to bring him, like, his newspaper. And, like, you know, he works. Like, somebody needs to make sure his cell phone's charged. Like, he needs help because he's, like, bedridden right now for, like, the next 3 weeks. You could have it unresolved in the previous amendment, whichever one it was, where it's not like the kids have quite accepted him yet. Mm-hmm. And this would be the payoff where it's like, none of the kids still, like, you know, they're dealing with
him.
Yeah,
no,
they
allow him to play the game, but, like, that's just, we're going to give you a chance,
yes,
right? That doesn't
this is
mean
the episode where, yes, this is the story where, like,
they accept him.
Understanding the spirit of the law, like, they all start coming together. They don't even need a short chart at the end of
it. Okay, yes, because this is very good, because here's what you do. Every other one of them, they're all looking at this from the mom to all the other kids. They're all looking at this very selfishly, which is each one of them is like, I do everything around here. I want to make sure that everything I do is enumerated because, like, I don't want to do anything that's, like, you know, it's like, is this bullshit? Yes. I don't want to get taken advantage of, right?
Yes.
So, yes, you do that. There's the chore chart, right? And then none of them will pick it up. They all get into a dumb fight about picking up the banana on the floor. And then the stepdad slips on it and breaks his back or breaks his leg or whatever. There's all these things you have to do to take care of him, right? So now they create a second chore chart to take care of him, right? And so now there's like twice as many chores and they're arguing about that. And then like, you know, the dog gets sick or there's like, you know, like the, one of the big things, there's like a big chore and then they have to like, so it's just, there's all these rules and it just turns into this crazy turf war about who's supposed to do what. And then essentially you would have, they all through this realize how much the stepdad has been doing for them out of the goodness of his heart without anybody asking him to, right? And so then it is like they destroy the chore charts at the end. Like, and it's like, there's only one law.
All right, 30
there's
seconds.
Only one. One chore. Treat others as you would have them treat you.
It should be something like none of them want to feed their annoying dog or something like that or whatever. And then like the kids wake up in the morning and they don't see the dad in the bed. And like the stepdad's like literally like, you know, grimacing and walking. He's just like petting the dog in the yard and like doing all these things in the yard because like it's just like he knew nobody wanted to do them. And it's like, oh, shit. This guy's
I think the
cool.
stepdad has to finally flip out a little too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think the stepdad
reads
them the riot act for being like, hey,
that's
fucking.
What you do. It's a sweet moment. They're like, oh my God, he's so nice. What have we done? We're all monsters. He's like, hey, stepdad, sorry. And he turns around and he's like, you motherfuckers, none of you fed this fucking dog last night?
For
do you know how much
days.
Work?
Yeah.
They're like, we're sorry. He's like, you know how much fucking how hard it was for me to go downstairs? But no, he wants it. He just yells at them. And then hard cuts to like, they're serving him breakfast in bed or whatever.
We gotta move on. Time's up.
All right. Last one.
The favorite. The best amendment.
Amendment 10. Favorite.
Amendment X, baby.
The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. States' rights. Ooh,
controversial.
This is a good one.
Well, this started the Civil War to some degree, so perhaps...
What's I'm our metaphor for slavery?
Oh, God. What's the metaphor for the states? Like, what's
the states
in this
rights.
Family, what's the difference between, like, federal and states?
States' rights.
Like, I guess it'd be like, yes, it's important for the family, like, right? It's essentially on a macro level of what's important for the country versus, you know, the individual rights of the state. So what's important for the family versus the individual rights of the family members?
I feel like we kind of got into that already.
I know.
Though. I'm trying
to
think. Man. Okay. States' rights.
How about...
Go ahead.
When the militia comes and is like, hey, we're going to reinstate slavery because of Amendment 8, 10. I don't know what to do with this one.
I feel like this has got to be like...
we've
been on some... Because this is the last one, too.
Yeah. How do we pull this all together?
I feel like... This is about secession. This is going to be about someone leaving the family.
Or
again, it's about one of the kids choosing their own destiny. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say that the stoner, you know, big titty anime girl statue collecting, weed smoking goober, like, decides to straighten up and join the army, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, the parents are scared. He's like, I got to get my life together. I got to go do something. Or, like, even if it's something dumb, like, I'm going to go run away and join a band, right? Like, I'm going to quit this family. And, you know, it's essentially, does he have the right to do that?
Okay.
I don't know. Is that weird?
Well, if he's like, he turns 18. How about that? He turns 18.
Mm-hmm. He can emancipate.
And then he's like.
He's like, I'm out of here.
I don't know.
I'm leaving.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this family's fucked up. Ever since you went on this fishing trip. We've been going through all the fucking amendments. I quit. I'm done. And it's him leaving the family.
I don't know quite what has. Maybe if you do. Oh, man. Okay. But
it
what?
Okay. All right.
He's 18. So it's like they.
You know what all right. I will say this. Whether
virginity.
It's,
maybe a kid wants to lose their virginity. And it's like, hey, it's my body.
We have not dealt with one of the kids having a boyfriend or girlfriend. Right.
Yes.
Or, you know, like, imagine that the kid is 18, right? Or 17 in like 9 months or whatever and gets married. like and gets married to his girlfriend. And the parents are like, what the fuck? This is crazy. You're way too young for this. Right. But he's like, I'm an adult in 3 days. I'm going to do what I want. And I'm going to join this other family. And they're nice. They're not fucked up like you. And I'm leaving. Right.
Okay. Okay, so they get married.
Is that something? I don't know. I know you're trying to wrap this up. And then, like, it's like you got to let him go. I don't know. Maybe that's weird. I'm trying
to. It feels like if you're going to do something like that, like, virginity is probably more grounded. It's like the, but who cares? Like, Friday Night Lights has a really good episode on the daughter losing her virginity.
Okay. So, in that case, let's make the stoner kid 16, 17. And yeah, his boyfriend or girlfriend comes over and the mom finds them hooking up. Is that what we're saying?
What does that lead to, though?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, all right, just trying to. Ooh, this is a tough one.
I think it's got to just be Succession. I think it's got to be Succession.
But I mean, the amendment doesn't have anything to do with Succession. Like,
what do you mean Succession?
He's not about like somebody leaving the family.
Yeah, but like, what is the only time we've ever worried about? Yeah, I mean,
there's just
it's individual states' rights. The states in this case are the kids, and so it's them.
The kid has the right to.
You can make it like an abortion drama, and like the girl gets pregnant or something like that.
Damn. We gotta wrap this all up, though. It feels like this has been this cohesive.
Yeah, I
thing.
Want it to be it about like, the family. Do you know what I mean? Like that's what's tough. Okay. You could do the dad sues for custody of the kids, and then the kids got to choose whether to live with the dad or the mom. I don't know.
Oh Jesus. Okay, let's do the stoner. Let's do the stoner kid's gonna leave.
Okay, this stoner kid's going to leave, right?
Yeah.
It's about the kids letting go. Yeah, it's going to be about the parents.
And
it's
them realizing they did the best they could, and this is the best they got.
Yes, the two parents who are now divorced are...
It's graduation. I think that's what you frame it around.
They have different opinions. They have different opinions on what... Or, you know what? This is actually them coming together to a degree. Like, neither of them want him to do what he's going to do, which is like, whatever. He's like,
and I would, again, I would, okay, here we go. It's graduation day for stoner kid, right?
Yes.
And they go to graduation. That's why the dad is there and the mom, right? And they're like, I can't believe we actually got him through this, right? And now he's finally, like, he got into a good school. He's going to go off to college, right?
Yes.
And he makes a shocking announcement to the family that instead of doing that, he is going to do this.
He's starting a Bitcoin farm in Norway.
Or like, you know, like does he get into a fight with his mom and then he runs away or something like that? They can't find him and then she and the dad gotta go look for him. But essentially they come together because they have to let him go.
Yes. It's gonna be about the family, the parents that we've been following.
And the family.
And this anti kid that showed up in Amendment 7, but we would have been there all the time. Like, yes, like, you know, it's a normal family. They're going through their trials and this is gonna be about them realizing that their kids are no longer like they are still their kids. They're still their states. Mm-hmm. But they're going
to
they do their own thing.
They have the rights too.
And you got
to
let
them start their own Bill of Rights. It's like, honey, when you go start your own family, you're going to start your own Bill of Rights. And they look right at camera and they say that.
No,
okay,
that's
here's what
the
say.
Analogy is what the kid is doing is the equivalent of Succession. Is like they're like, yeah, we just gotta let him do his own thing, and then they're walking away. They're like, wait a second, no, he's fucking going to do this stupid ass thing. We're bringing him back. Anyways.
I mean, it's not a mad. It's not really Succession. It's his destiny, right?
His destiny.
So, and he's doing something that's
his
heartbreaking.
Manifest destiny.
Okay, all right.
sorry.
I have to go west. He's going to California to join a band.
He's going to be a model. And he's very ugly.
He's going to go be a model. Yes, I love that. I love that. They're like, he's going to fucking fail so hard. And he's like, my girlfriend thinks I can do it. And so he's going to go be a model. I love that. I love everything about that. And they're like, you can't do that. We refuse. Like, you know, and then you could do like this, right? Like, he's supposed to get a check from them. You know, like, he's like, they promised they were going to give him like $1,000 when he graduated or something like that, you know, as a gift, right? And then they refused to give him the gift. And that gift was going to be how he was going to buy his ticket to California. And he's like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, this is my, you said I was going to get this. Like, why you said I can make my own decisions, right? Just, it has to be decisions you agree
with. Dad and mom, if you don't give me my $200, how am I going to afford rent in LA? They're like, you think this is why we're not letting you go to LA to become a model.
Okay. So then, because I like the idea of you have like a sort of tearful goodbye as well between him and the younger sister who bonded in the previous one.
Yes.
She helps him steal money so that they can run away together to LA because she's going to go live with her cool older brother because she hates her parents, right? And then they get to the bus depot and the parents have been chasing them because they're freaking out. And then the brother reveals that he called the parents to pick her up because he's like, you can't come with me. You're not ready yet. Like, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
I would do. Yeah, so nice. The final moment should actually be like he gets there and then whether or not he called the parents, but it's like, yeah, I like that. He's like, actually, you shouldn't Like, you're not coming. And it's like, well, it's like maybe this might be a stupid decision, but I'm old enough to make my stupid decision. Like,
yeah. You're not.
Our parents are okay, right? Like, at the end of all of this, like, they love you. And, you know, when you're 18, you can go ahead and make the same stupid decision, but you're not coming with me. And I love you too much to do this or whatever.
Yeah. We'll always be a family.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I'm surprised that turned into something cohesive. It's not even that cohesive, but a little
bit.
Well,
no, it's actually, I'm not surprised because it becomes a lot easier to come up with ideas once you put yourself in this box.
Oh, that's
like,
fair.
As opposed to being like, it could be anything. Yeah. You're like, all right, it's about this family. Yeah.
Good point.
Just makes me appreciate the Decalogue even more.
Everybody, I was going to say, I literally thought you were going to say it makes you appreciate your creative family, me and Freddie, and then you just fucking knifed me in the back for that bastard Keith Zlosky yet again.
It makes me appreciate the flawless language of the Bill of Rights. That's what it makes me appreciate.
It makes me appreciate this great country who's never done anything wrong.
All right, man. Folks. Well, that's going to do it for us this week.
Man.
Next week, we're going to do the next 17, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
17
we're just
keep
going.
Hour.
There's some fun ones in there.
Thanks so much for listening, folks.
Oh, come on. How good would it be to do the prohibition and then the amendment is like, never mind. You get two episodes about teen drinking.
That's true.
Anyways.
All right, folks. This is going to do it for us this week, this episode. Thank you to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network for having us on. Visit MaximumFun.org for all your podcasting needs. Chad Ellis edits this verbal diarrhea of ours into some sort of cohesive form. Find us on social media. We're at RJ Storybreak on Twitter and bit.ly/StorybreakFB for our private Facebook group. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And don't give up. Maybe you could be the 28th Amendment.
Dude, I want to do the movie about the 25th Amendment. That sounds fucking great.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95, we did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion?
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV